prayer gives power to weakness. Prayer gives power to weakness. And we're going to pick it up in 2 Corinthians. So you have your Bibles. Let's turn to the New Testament. New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. So we'll have the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have Acts and Romans and then 1 Corinthians and then 2 Corinthians. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll start there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. So the last chapter of 2 Corinthians and then verse 4. Of course, while we're turning there, just put a little context here. We all know prayer is important. Of course, that's kind of a gimme. That's a no-brainer. We know that prayer is important, but do I realize just how important prayer is? And so we're going to examine tonight the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And in examining his life and what he did, how he lived his life and conducted his ministry, what does that tell us about how important prayer is? And so 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4, the Word of God says, "For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house even tonight, Lord. What a joy it is to assemble, to praise you, Father. That's why we are here. And Father, we pray that you be glorified from this service. We thank you, Father, for the wonderful report from Brother Juan. The souls that were making confession in Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, those confessions were effectual. We pray, Father, those were sincere. Father, what a joy to know that, that the work goes on and beyond our sight, Lord, but always within yours. And so, Father, we are so thankful that we can labor together in the ministry, in the harvest. And so, Father, we ask that we be found faithful stateside, Lord. Help us to be about thy business. Help us to, again, be found faithful, watching unto prayer. And now, Father, prime our hearts from your precious, precious word. Help us, help me, again, to just grasp the absolute joy and necessity of prayer for power. Father, my flesh is weak, but Father, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. That's through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of prayer. Help us to exercise this gift of prayer, to be fully aware for myself, to understand, Lord, that besides you, I can do nothing. And so, Father, we thank you so much. Be with those, Lord, who are out traveling, some under the weather. Again, Brother Jeff and others, Father. And Father, we pray that you be glorified even tonight. Move these lips of clay that I would speak what you would have me to say. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just one thing to observe as we consider what Jesus did. It's easy for me to think, well, yes, that's Jesus. So of course he's going to be perfect. And he is perfect. Don't get me wrong, okay? But our Savior, yes, he is God and never ceased to be God. But when Jesus Christ came on earth, he became flesh. The Word of God, the eternal Word of God became finite man. And understand that Jesus Christ was 100% human and he had the limitations while he walked on planet earth. He had the vulnerabilities. He had the weaknesses of any human being. He tired as a man. He hurt as a man. Jesus suffered as a man. Of course, we know he was crucified as a man. And in fact, look, notice how the Apostle Paul, of course, he's trying to encourage the Corinthians using Jesus Christ as the example. And so he speaks heart to heart to them, of course, God to them through us. He says in verse 4, "For though he," that's Jesus Christ, "was crucified through weakness." The idea is Jesus' flesh, the nature of his flesh, of his being, referred to here as weakness. Weakness meaning it's frail, it's feeble. Jesus Christ was completely human, a descendant of Adam. Of course, you can read the genealogy in Luke. In fact, in Philippians, don't turn there, I'll just read it. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, the Word of God says, "Who," speaking about Jesus, "being in the form of God," he is the eternal Son of God. Of course, the living Word of God became flesh. And so being in the form of God, "thought it not robbery to be equal with God," because he is God, "but made himself of no reputation," the Bible tells us, "and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." In fact, it was just, we were driving, was it last Sunday? Just earlier this last Sunday, driving home, and I was telling the kids, you know, when Jesus Christ came on the earth, I mean, just imagine if we would meet another person and they would say, hey, I'm God. You know, we're like, yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, of course, you know. Now, of course, we know Jesus Christ is God. But again, to put into mindset, when he walked the earth, he was 100% man, even though he never ceased to be God. And he was in the form of weak, vulnerable flesh. And so look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 with me. Let's go back one book. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is how scripture here describes our flesh, the same flesh that Jesus Christ took upon himself, okay? I want us to understand this. Number one, Jesus was 100% human. Now, why is this important? Well, we're going to build up to that, but understand that Jesus Christ was when he came, he was absolutely human. Even though he was God and never ceased to be God, he was also human. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, this is the resurrection chapter, all the way down to verse 42. Verse 42, it speaks about the resurrection. Okay, and it compares the spiritual body with the natural body. So our glorified body with what we have now. So notice what the Bible and how the Bible describes our flesh. So verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. This is for believers. It is sown in corruption. The idea that as someone is dead and they're buried, their body goes in the ground. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption, this glorified body. Corruption, the body that we have, scripture refers to this flesh that we have, it is corruptible, okay? It ages, it breaks down, it gets old, it can get infected, it dies. In fact, if you look down to verse 53, for this corruptible, that's our flesh that we have now, must put on incorruption. And this mortal, that's our mortal flesh, must put on immortality. And so these are the verses that describe the body now that we have and the glorified body that we will have. All believers will get this, okay? But I want us to understand, this body that we have, it's corrupt, okay? It just wears out and wears down. Keep going. Verse 43, it is sown in dishonor. So the body that dies and goes down is one of dishonor, meaning, it, you know, it was first made in the image of God, but now bears the mark of sin. Now is cursed. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. That is the body to come. It is sown in, there's that word again, weakness. Weakness, right? Our main verse from 2 Corinthians 13:4, for though he was crucified through weakness, just a mortal human. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. Verse 44, it is sown a natural body, a carnal body, a fleshly body, from the fallen world, okay? As opposed to a supernatural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, a body that we would have one day at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ at the resurrection. That is a wonderful promise to believers. But again, to remind ourselves, when Jesus Christ walked on planet Earth, he was 100% human. Now, why is this important? Well, here's the kicker. As 100% human, Jesus had no power to do anything of himself. Really? Really. Let's go to John chapter 5. I want to share this. Jesus says this here. In John chapter 5, again, as 100% human, Jesus had no power to do anything in and of himself. Let's go to John chapter 5. Notice what Jesus says here. John chapter 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus says this, and it's quite stunning what he says here. John chapter 5, this is the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in your New Testaments. Chapter 5, verse 19. And Jesus says here, verse 19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do what? Nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. Jesus was still God, but when he became man on planet Earth, he willingly set aside his power when he humbled himself as a man. The eternal, infinite living word who created all things, he became finite, weak, a frail human being. Remember, when Jesus came on planet Earth, he came to do the will of the Father in heaven. If the Father didn't will it, Jesus didn't do it. Make sense? Right? Whatever the Father willed and wanted, that was what Jesus did. Jesus was a mirror, was obedient, a humble servant to God the Father. He had no power in and of himself to do whatever he wanted. He set aside his power when he became man. And understand this, Jesus wasn't just pretending not to have power. Okay, he had no power in and of himself. He wasn't just pretending. Like sometimes, you know, parents, I've been guilty of this, you know, you're playing with the kids, you know, and maybe a parent pretends that they can't lift a toy, you know, and like, oh, it's so heavy, or you totally can. You're just faking it, okay? The idea is when Jesus was on planet Earth, he wasn't faking it. Yes, he never ceased to be God, but he willingly yielded his godliness in the sense of his power, okay? The power that he had is completely dependent on the Father, his beloved Father in heaven. Everything else, in fact, it tells us in our opening scriptures, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of who? God. That's God the Father. Okay? And so Jesus wasn't just, you know, he wasn't just pretending not to have power and then thinking to himself, oh, I'm the Son of God. I can do whatever I want. I'm going to just heal. No, he had to rely, completely yield it to God the Father. That was God's will, was what he executed. Now, I want us to understand this. Even though Jesus, well, he spoke of his own resurrection. Remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, I have power to lay it down. Remember, no man taketh his life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. And then he says what? This commandment have I received of my Father. Of my Father. Jesus' power was from his Father. He was a regular man, 100% human, even though he didn't cease to be God. If you want to consider, just like the prophets, okay, when Moses, and think about this, when Moses brought the 10 plagues upon Egypt, did Moses do it? Well, no, God did it through Moses. When Elijah brought fire down from heaven, did Elijah do it? No, God worked it, did it through Elijah. When Elisha brought the Shunammite woman's dead son back to life, did Elisha do it? No, God did it through Elisha. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, did Jesus do it? Well, let's go to John 11. Let's go to John chapter 11. Notice what happens here. John chapter 11. Remember, Jesus was completely 100% human. John chapter 11, and then verse 41. John chapter 11, verse 41. Scripture tells us now Lazarus is his good friend that died, and now he was dead and rotting. Okay, so this is 4 days later. And so they come, and Jesus is going to do the miracle where he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. But notice what Jesus says in verse 41 here. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, this is a prayer. Now he's praying this out loud, but Jesus says this, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Of course, then we know verse 44, and he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. So Lazarus came back to life. Hallelujah. That's phenomenal. A tremendous miracle. But Jesus prayed to the Father, and it was the Father's will that Lazarus be raised from the dead. And Jesus did exactly what the Father wanted him to do. Everything that Jesus did, he did what the Father wanted him to do. Yes, he prayed, okay, if it possible, let the cup pass from him, okay, his own desires. But he always, at the end of the day, always yielded his will to the Father. And what God the Father did not want him to do, he didn't do. What God the Father wanted him to do, ultimately, he would always do. And so this is just as tremendous. God the Father worked through Jesus Christ. The Father in heaven did the miracle. This is huge. Now, again, what did Jesus do to be used of God the Father to work this miracle? Look again, don't miss this, verse 42. verse 41, actually, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, he's praying to the Father, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Number one, Jesus is 100% human. And because Jesus is 100% human, he had no power in and of himself to do anything. Number three, what that means is, as 100% human, Jesus had to pray for the power of God. And how often did Jesus pray? Look at verse 42. And he says, and I knew that thou hearest me, what? Always. Always. Jesus is saying God the Father always hears him. What's the context here? This is to work miracles. Every miracle that Jesus did was because he was always in close communion with his Father in heaven through constant prayer. Notice what our main verse says. For though he was crucified through weakness, just the flesh, a weak old flesh, yet he lived, that's his resurrection, by the power of God, that's God the Father. And not just Jesus' resurrection, his entire life, Jesus lived by God's power because he lived a life of prayer. Remember, the flesh that we have, the flesh that Jesus took upon himself, Romans 8:8 tells us, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, meaning those who are led by their flesh, okay? Because the flesh wants to do what God doesn't want to do. You've got to be led by the Spirit. Remember what Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 26, verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, let's go back to 2 Corinthians 13. Let's go back to our main verse. Because Paul is making a personal application as to us. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. And let's go to verse 4, our main verse, but the second half of it. Again, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him. But we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Just like Jesus was weak in the flesh, yet lived his whole life and his resurrection by the power of God, so is Paul weak in the flesh, yet, you know, he lives by the power of God. He serves God by the power of God, not his own strength, not his own might, but the power of God. How? Through prayer. Let's go to Ephesians. So 2 Corinthians, we'll keep going. We'll find Galatians and then Ephesians. Go to chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Do I understand, friends, just how necessary and absolutely critical prayer is in my life if I want to harness and tap into the power of God? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, and then verse 10. Paul is wrapping up here, writing to the Ephesians. He says in verse 10, Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And so we want the power of God, not my flesh, because my flesh is weak. My flesh is weak and frail, can't please God, my flesh profiteth nothing. There's nothing in my flesh that can serve or please God. I can't do anything in my flesh to serve God. It has to be through the power of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, Jesus says, if you pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, you will receive him. That is phenomenal, because remember, our flesh can do nothing, can do nothing. But how do we, you know, again, and in fact, Paul goes on here. If you go all the way down to verse 18, same chapter 6, be strong in the Lord. How? By praying. Look at verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now the verses in between, verse 11 to 17, speaks about the armor of God. And what Paul is saying is, verse 11 to 17, we've got to put the whole armor of God on, because only with the whole armor of God on can we pray in the Spirit effectively. The goal is to stand in verse 10, to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, is through prayer. And the only way we can pray effectively in the Spirit is when we don the whole armor of God. And don't take it off. You have all the pieces of the armor. Don't have to get into that. But from verse 11 to 17, it's putting on the whole armor of God. You got the sword of the Spirit, and you're all suited up. The loins of your mind are girded up for battle, spiritual warfare. And that's when we get into the battle of prayer. And so verse 18 is in praying. And through praying effectively in the Spirit with the whole armor of God, that is how that we stand strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, when Paul prayed, remember, for the thorn in his side, in his flesh, it didn't go away, but he got God's all-sufficient grace. The strength and the power to endure it comes from God, not through Paul. The power of prayer gives us power to work God's will in our lives. Prayer gives the power of God to our weakness of flesh. When Jesus said, pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, he meant it. He wasn't just kidding around. Because my friends, outside from walking with God and communing with God and yielding to God and His word and His will, through the precious, constant, unceasing prayer that we have with God, that is how we have the power of God in this weak flesh. Because this flesh is weak. I can only have the power of God in my life when I tap into Him. Because this flesh can't do anything to serve God. Jesus Christ was 100% human. Absolutely. But He lived by the power of God, not just His resurrection, but His entire life, because of His communion with God the Father through constant prayer. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought, Lord. Just as weak as we are, as frail, as corrupt, as mortal, as dishonored as our body is, yet we can live by the power of God through You. But Father, it has to be through You. It has to be yielded through prayer, Father. Help us to, again, put on the whole armor of God and never take it off, Father, that we can be praying always, always praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And so, Father, we desire, Lord, and I'm so thankful for the promises of Your word that Jesus Christ tells us that we knock and be opened unto us, we seek, we shall find, Lord, that we can ask and receive the Holy Spirit to them that ask. So, Father, help us to desire Your power in our lives. Father, help us to spend as much time as we can with You as Jesus Christ did in prayer. Because that is what we need, and that is how we can have the power of God, Your power, Lord, in our life. And Father, we thank You for Your precious, precious word. Thank You for our so great a Savior. Father, that I can't even wrap my mind around just how perfect Jesus is, completely sinless. At the same time, Father, He was 100% human, completely human, but the perfect human. What a Savior. And so, Father, we thank You for His sacrifice on Calvary. We thank You, Father, for the power of His blessed resurrection. We thank You, Father, that the words that He has for us, that He is coming again. And so maybe may we be found faithful, Father, watching unto prayer. The Spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.